Bueno, pasamos a la siguiente ponencia de, ya lo veis en el programa, Nicolás Borovier, del equipo de investigación y desarrollo de control biológico de tanto, me parece que es del INRA, dentro del Instituto de Sofía, y va a insistir más todavía en el control biológico de la plaga. Una cosa de organización: como hemos acumulado mucho retraso para la hora de comer desde la mañana, vamos a pasar la última ponencia de Vicente Rodríguez, el jefe de Servicio de Defensa del Medio Natural de la Junta de Castilla y León, a la primera de la tarde, para poder llegar a las dos a comer y no ir acumulando más todavía, porque si no luego no hay quien recupere. Entonces, va a ser la última ponencia ahora de la mañana y volvemos a las cuatro con este salto de ponencias. Gracias.
Hola, everybody.
Thanks for the organizing committee for inviting me to give this talk, where I will present you results of the French strategy to control Dryocosmus coryphyllus infestation. So first, I want to give you a rapid overview of the work we are doing in my lab. So, as suggested by its name, so research and development in biological control, the first objective of my lab is to develop new biological control strategies in response of a new arrival of agricultural pests, and in particular invasive species. And to do that, we work exclusively on classical biological control and augmentative inoculative biological control. We use only entomophagous insects and mainly parasitoids, and as you can see, we worked on a various pest models, so the olive fruit fly, the chestnut gall wasp, the conlin moss, and so on. Another objective of my team is to improve and optimize the research and development practices in biological control, and this objective deals with morphological and molecular and phenological characterization of both the biological control agents and the pest. And this objective also deals with a deep evaluation of biological control agents with a pluriannual and multi-site surveys. The last one of the objective is to use classical biological control programs to improve knowledge in evolutionary ecology. And to do that, we manipulate either demographic or genetic factors to know what are the effects on the establishment of the biological control agents. For example, in the frame of the classical biological control programs, again, the olive fruit fly, we manipulate the genetic diversity of Psittalia lundsberi, which was the biological control agent, in order to test if intraspecific hybridization can affect the establishment success of these parasitoids. So, now talk about Dryocosmus coryphyllus. So, you already know that, but the chestnut gall wasp induced galls on buds of Castanea species. It has only one generation per year, and only females are known. And this biological trait explains why the infestation grows rapidly. And okay, so you already know the cycle. And adults emerge in summer. They lay eggs in buds, and then the gall were induced in the next spring at bud burst. So it is native from China, and it was firstly reported in neighboring country, Nepal, Japan, Korea, and it was also reported in the United States and in Europe in 2002, in Italy, from where it spread throughout Europe in several years. So in France, Dryocosmus coryphyllus was firstly reported in 2005 in a region localized near the border with Italy, and which is also an economical chestnut area with lots of traditional orchards. So during several years, there is no, there was no report, no new report of new areas invaded. But in 2010, it was reported in two other main economical chestnut areas, so Ardèche and Corsica. And then in 2011, it was reported in the last one chestnut areas of production in Périgord. And then, to date, it was disseminated through good France and almost in all the chestnut surface in France. And this is the map here. So, what are the impacts of the of this pest? So, of course, since the chestnut gall wasp induced galls on birds, the first agronomic impact is on chestnut production, so with important yield losses. But since this pest affects the buds of the castanea, it can reduce the flowers availability of the trees, and then it may affect negatively honey production and beekeeping. And in some region, it can have other impacts on some traditional activities, like pigs breeding, for example, in Corsica. So this is the main focus of the impact, but what about the environmental threats? In France, the Castanea sativa is really a key species in forest ecosystems, since this is the third most abundant species of deciduous trees, and since almost half of the European surface of Castanea sativa is localized in France. So by affecting this species, Dryocosmus curifilius may affect natural ecosystems too. So as you have seen, the most efficient method to control this pest is to use classical biological control and to release a specific parasitoid that is Toremus sinensis, that is an ectoparasitoid. So like its host is a univoltin, so he has only one generation per year. But unlike its host, it reproduces sexually. And the cycle, so the adults emerge in spring, they lay eggs on larvae inside the galls, and then they will re-emerge at the next spring. So what was the context in France in 2011? Toremus sinensis was already present in France since 2010. It was released in the frame of an Alcotra project between France and Italy. So it was just before the implementation of a new national reglementation. And the Dryocosmus curifilius was also reported from the main region of chestnut production since 2010. So there was a need to find a good articulation between the agronomic and the scientific issues, because the agronomic point of view was to release Toremus sinensis as early as possible and as largely as possible. But the scientific point of view was to improve the knowledge of this method, since there is some missing data about this classical biological control methods. So after good discussion, we decided to implement a classical biological control program using Toremus sinensis with controlled release of these parasitoids in France. So the objectives of this project, the first one is of course to durably control the chestnut gall wasp infestation, and for that we our releases were focused in commercial orchards, but we also released in forest ecosystem as well to optimize the natural dispersal of Torimus sinensis. The release sites were separated from at least 5 kilometers to better assess the intra-site dynamics of Torimus sinensis. And moreover, no other release were done during at least a 3-year period of post-release surveys. The second objective of the project deal with the improve the knowledge and optimize this classical biological control methods. And this deals with the efficiency and dynamics of Torimus sinensis on a large scale, both geographically and temporally. And it also deals with the understanding the factors that underlying establishment and spread of exotic species. So since we focused on demographic factors, we implement a different experimental level of Torimus sinensis introductions. So we introduced on some site 100 females on a single release. On other site, we done 2 release of 50 females at, with a 1-year interval. And on some site, we also release 1,000 females. So between 2011 and 2014, we released almost 14,000 Torimus sinensis that covered a large geographical area with 8 French regions and almost 70 sites in this experimental design. And to collect data, we sample each site by collecting withered gall between 2,000 and 5,000 galls in each site and in each year. That means that during the last 2 years, we have collected more than 300,000 galls during winter. So the last objective of the of this project is to document potential and intentional effect of this classical biological control methods. And first of all, we want to focus on Dryocosmus pyriphilus, since there is a recruitment of native oak gall wasp parasitoids on these cynipids. So with this objective, we want to deal with dynamics of native parasitoids on a large scale. And to do that, we assess morphological and molecular characterization. And we consider the large area covered by our design experimental. Most of our data were based on mainly from withered galls. And we have another team who work on the impact on oak, on the impact of Dryocosmus pyriphilus on oak gall wasp community in Orléans. Okay, the second documental potential effect is about Torimus sinensis, and there are 2 obvious non-intentional effects of the parasitoids. The first one is its ability to hybridize with native Torimus species that is already reported from Japan. And we will focus on this part in this project. But there is another potential effect, that is the ability of Torimus sinensis to develop on other hosts, and in particular on oak gall wasp. So, and to do that, we assess morphological and molecular characterization on of all Torimus species emerged from Castanea and Quercus species. So since we don't have complete data and we don't have all the 3 years post-release surveys for all the sites of the design, I will present you first result of this project. So first of all, concerning the establishment of Torimus sinensis, it was recovered in all the sites where we released it. So it is a very high establishment rate when compared to the average establishment success in classical biological control, which is generally comprised between 10% and 30% of establishment. Moreover, so as you have seen, we have collected a lot of white withered galls during winter, and we found a good detection after 1 year after the first releases. So this indicates that this is a good sampling method. But you can see here that on some sites, even in collecting 5,000 galls, we were not able to recover Torimus sinensis 1 year after the releases, and we have to wait 1 year more. So concerning the dispersal of Torimus sinensis, we observed an increasing number of sites where Torimus sinensis arrived naturally between 2011 and 2014. And this is particularly true for this region where Torimus sinensis is here only from experimental release. And from this region, we got no sites, no detection of natural Torimus sinensis before this year, and we have almost more than 20 detection and 20 sites in these regions. And probably linked with this increasing dispersal, we found increasing number of sites with high parasitism rate, as well as significant increase of parasitism rate in sites naturally colonized by Torimus sinensis. And this is particularly true in the regions near Italy, where there is probably a natural exchange of Torimus sinensis from the Piedmont region. And as you can see on this graph, there is a significant increase in the parasitism rate, and we found on several sites more than 3 Torimus sinensis per gall. So, considering this high parasitism rate, on this site we also observed a high decrease of infestation of Dryocos muscurifilus. And you can see here that almost 4 or 5 years after the first report of Torimus sinensis on this site, the infestation rate is below 10% of infested beds. But there is a but. On our experimental design, we were not able yet to see a visible impact of Torimus sinensis on Dryocos muscurifilus infestation. So it's still very, very high, even after 3 years of even 3 years after the first releases. And indeed, when we look at the parasitism rate, it confirmed that Torimus sinensis needs time to develop high level of population. And you can see here that the release were done in 2011, so during the first 2 years after the first releases, the number of Torimus sinensis are very low. But during the third year after first releases, there is a significant increase of parasitism rate. Concerning the dynamics of Torimus sinensis, we did not observe a significant effect of the number of introduction events, but it seems to depend of the year considered. And as you can see here, 3 years after releases, it could be a good strategy to make two releases of 15 females rather than one release of 100 females. And concerning the number of female introduced, 1 year after releases, there was no differences between sites where we released 100 females and sites where we released 50 females. And we found that we recovered significantly more females when we released 1,000 females. But these results need to be confirmed since we have completed the 3 years post-release surveys only on 8 sites. So, concerning the dynamics of native parasitoids, so we obtain more than 10,000 native parasitoids, all belonging to 6 families that are commonly found on the cynipid species. Among all these species and genus, Eupelmus is the most abundant, with almost half of the total number of specimens belonging to this genus. And for the molecular study, we used almost 10% of all these parasitoids, and we discovered a lot of cryptic species complex in several genera. So that means it could be difficult to assess the real dynamics of these native parasitoids without a clear identification of them. So here I will just present you the result focused on Eupelmus urozonus complex. There are several species strongly similar morphologically, and some of these species are of interest for biological control. That is the case of Eupelmus urozonus to control the olive fruit fly, for example. And before our study, there were 7 species contained in this Eupelmus urozonus complex. And after our study, we have described 11 new species and confirmed 7 of the existing species. So now the Eupelmus urozonus complex is containing almost 20 species. And among all of these species, 6 are found on Dryocosmus curifilus, and Eupelmus urozonus and Eupelmus azureus are the most abundant species, with more than 80% of all Eupelmus species collected, Eupelmus individual collected. So concerning the unintentional effects of Taurimus sinensis, in the same way, we used more than 500 specimens for molecular study. These specimens were collected from different hosts and different plants. And we found almost 10 species of native Taurimus, and there are at least 4 on the Dryocosmus curifilus. And with this, we found Taurimus sinensis emerged only from Dryocosmus curifilus, but it was based only on a small sampling, so we don't conclude about that yet. And concerning the molecular study, we found some doubtful specimens collected on Dryocosmus curifilus. Indeed, we found specimens that are morphologically similar to Taurimus sinensis, but based on molecular study, they are genetically associated with Taurimus cyaneus. So this could indicate potential hybridation between Taurimus sinensis and Taurimus cyaneus. So we need to investigate more deeply this result by using other molecular markers. So to conclude, the chestnut gall wasp infestation are still very high in France, and also there is a significant increase of the parasitism rate of Taurimus sinensis 3 years after the first releases. There is no visible impact on chestnut gall wasp infestation. But we found that in sites where T. sinensis is already arrived naturally since 4 or 5 years, we observed a significant decrease of infestation of chestnut gall wasp with less than 10% of infested birds. And we found a possible hybridization of Taurimus sinensis with one species of native Taurimus that will need to be confirmed by other investigations. And just to finish, just want to say that considering the increasing pressure on chestnut producer this year to release more Taurimus sinensis, there was a new strategy that was implemented in 2014. So beside our experimental design, we implement non-experimental releases to optimize the distribution of Taurimus sinensis in regions of chestnut production. So this year, we also released more than 30,000 Taurimus sinensis in 300 sites in chestnut production areas, and most of these Taurimus sinensis were provided by the National Institute of Agricultural Research, and the other part of the emergencies of the Taurimus sinensis were provided by sending gulls to the local partners who managed the emergence of Taurimus sinensis. And with this new strategy, there is a need to redefine the organization of the project in France. Indeed, during the last 4 years, INRA were mainly involved in the coordination as well the production of Taurimus sinensis and the post-release surveys in this project. But during the coming years, we will more focus on the coordination of the project as well as the post-release surveys, whereas local partners were mainly involved in Taurimus sinensis redistribution. And here is lots of partners. So we work with research institutes, agricultural technical center, agricultural organization, or organisms of sanitary surveillance, producers federation. So thank you.
Muchas gracias, Nicolás, por esta ponencia. ¿Alguna pregunta? No. Francisco, ¿tienes ayuda? Espera.
Has dicho que no había una diferencia sin... Ok. Has dicho que no había una diferencia significativa en los lugares donde soltasteis 100 hembras y en otro que soltasteis 50. Pero la que soltasteis 1,000, no la has comentado.
I mentioned that when we released 1,000, 1 year after, we recovered significantly more Taurimus sinensis. But on the sites where we released 1,000 females, we only have 1 year of post-release survey. So we cannot say anymore that 1 year after we recovered more, but we have to wait and to see if 5 years after we recovered more when we release 1,000 than when we release 100, for example.
Uh, Buenos días, primero. Me pregunto si las sueltas de Torimus sinensis se han basado únicamente en la recolección de gallas infectadas en años anteriores o si el INRA ha estado produciendo Torimus sinensis en laboratorio, o sea, obviamente tendrá que producir el Dryocosmus y sobre el Torimus. ¿Esa producción ex situ se ha hecho o solamente se han recogido gallas en el campo?
Sorry, can you repeat?
No. I'll try in English.
Okay.
I wonder if the release of the Torimus sinensis is only based on the collection of the chestnut gall wasp, or do you grow the Torimus sinensis in a lab?
No,
have a huge amount of...
No, we collect galls during winter to have Torimus sinensis to...
Only collection.
Them. Yeah.
It is not possible to grow it in captivity?
I don't think it is possible, but I think it is really expensive and maybe less effective than to collect them in the field during winter. I think that there is an Italian company which tried to make a lab rearing of Torimus sinensis. No? No? Okay.
Well, good morning. I'm not sure, but anyway, I want to put this question. Are your data and results coherent with Italian ones in terms of parasitism tax rates after releasing the Torimus? I think that you are talking about 3 years, more or less, after releasing. I don't know if, I'm sure if I am right about this reflection.
I was talking about 3 years after the releases, but we will try to survey the sites many years more. But to date, on this site, on the site where we have the 3 years post-release survey, we observed increasing parasitism rate, but not so high that was observed in Italy. To observe a similar parasitism rate than Italian sites, we have to go in sites in a region which is really close to Italia and where Torimus sinensis arrived naturally by natural dispersal. And here, on this site, we found more than 3 Torimus sinensis per gall. But it was not 3 years after releases. It was almost 5 years after the arrival of Torimus sinensis.
No, allí.
Sí, gracias. Tengo 2 preguntas. Una, ha hecho un comentario al principio de su exposición en el cual ha dicho que... Ah, perdón. Sí, tengo 2 preguntas. Al principio de su exposición ha hecho un comentario de que las primeras introducciones de Torimus en Francia habían tenido lugar antes de la aparición de una legislación. Me gustaría que especificara a qué legislación nos estamos refiriendo. Y luego, por otro lado, ha aportado una serie de información sobre repercusiones en diferentes insectos parasitoides o insectos agallícolas. ¿Esos estudios están finalizados? ¿Van a ser publicados? Gracias.
Okay, so concerning the result parts have been published this year, but the other part needs we need to collect more data on the other sites, so we will publish hopefully during next year or in 2 years. And concerning the reglementations, yes, Torimus sinensis was introduced just before that a new reglementation took place. So now in France, if you want to import exotic macroorganisms to release them in the field for biological control, you need to ask for ministry to have a permit. And Torimus sinensis was already present in France when this law was processing. So it was written in a T0 list, and probably that if it wasn't released in France, it was probably written in this list because it probably will have dispersed naturally from Italy.
Sí, es muy interesante esa puntualización de cara a la aplicabilidad al caso español. Pero entonces, a mí me gustaría que me indicase, si es posible, en qué zona más próxima a la frontera española se encuentra Torimus sinensis en Francia.
No. No, we raised Torimus sinensis. We have the map, so near the Pyrenees. So you have to wait that Torimus sinensis go through the Pyrenees and okay. But not near Perpignan. Okay, thank you.